The types of insurance you should be considering for your rental properties. That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is the Investing in Real Estate Show. It's the show designed to help you build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. We talk about buy and hold real estate here on the show. That's how we build financial freedom. And what we aim to do is to help you do the same thing. So one key part of that whole puzzle is the insurance part. I know it's not sexy. It's not super exciting, but when you buy performing assets, you want them protected because you need to prepare for that rainy day, right?
That's right. So, you know, sometimes I think, well, at least I thought that, oh, okay, I'll just get an insurance policy. And, you know, I always was kind of flabbergasted when they asked questions about dwelling and liability. And I never really, I was like, I don't know, whatever you think, right? So I wasn't the best shopper for insurance. And then I found this book called Wise Up, The Savvy Consumer's Guide to Buying Insurance. And I said, you know what, I need to teach myself what's in this policy so I can shop for it better. And I sort of pounded the pavement. So now, having insurance on all of our rental properties and having bought insurance on our personal items, I'm a lot better shopper for it. So we have some things to share because this can be confusing.
And we'll have a link to that book inside the show notes page for this episode. So if you scroll down, depending on what app you're using, you'll see that link to that book right there. As well as if you go to morrisinvest.com/podcast, we'll have links on the podcast page for that book, as well as our insurance hub that we feature, because it's very important. So if you go to morrisinvest.com/insurance, we've got our hub set up that's it's the provider Arcana that we use, and you actually get a big discount if you go through them. So everything we're talking about today, we kind of walk the walk. I mean, we use Arcana as our main insurance provider, backed by the Lloyd's of London. So that link is on our website. So if you're interested in moving your rental properties there and saving a boatload of money, I would consider doing that. Okay, so let's go into it.
Okay. I also want to mention the book would probably take you about an hour and a half to read. It's like a little Kindle single, but it pays off when you start to shop for these things and you'll be able to shop better. It was written by the United Policyholders Group. So it's like a like an industry group for the insurance industry. So I really trusted the information that they were telling us. So, okay, you have a lot of options when it comes to buying insurance. And I really suggest that you shop around for us. We found some really great rates through Arcana Insurance, but you need to know this for yourself, right? Like, it's good to pound the pavement a little bit. I think I've used that a couple of times now, pounding the pavement. So it's a lot of pounding of the pavement today.
It's good. Get out there
and pound
the pavement.
But we're doing this podcast, so you don't have to pound quite so much pavement, so you can benefit from the pavement we have pounded.
And I will say, though, we had a different insurance provider in our different markets. We had a different insurance provider in each of our different markets. I think Indiana and Michigan and Tennessee or wherever. We had just all over the place. And then we put them under one umbrella at Arcana, and it's been great. We saved a boatload of money when we shifted them over. Do you remember how much money we saved?
We saved about $10,000 a year by putting them under one policy. Yeah, it was crazy because I had just been putting it together like a collage. Like, okay, we're in a new market. Who's the insurance provider there? And then I would pound the pavement in the new market. And now I don't really have to do that because they cover all markets nationally.
Yeah, and it's easy online too. You can set it all up right digitally right on their website. So again, just go to morrisinvest.com/insurance, morrisinvest.com/insurance. You can't just sign up through them. We're a partner with them, so you can't just like go to their website and sign up. They won't let you do that. So plus you'll save money if you do it through our site. So anyway, that's the deal with that. So all right, let's walk through some of the things we have here.
Okay. So your declaration page is the page that says, this is the type of insurance I've got, right? And then it's followed by pages and pages of gobbledygook of legalese saying exactly how this policy will be executed, if it needs to be executed, all kinds of exceptions. So what you really need to read is not all of those pages, but the deck page, the declaration page, right? What I didn't understand until I started to research this is those pages are standard. There's always coverage A through F or whatever, however many letters down the alphabets they want to go. I said alphabets. I need to wake myself up today. But, you know, the first couple of letters are pretty standard. So for the most part, coverage A will always be the dwelling. How much do you insure the building for, right? One mistake that I see a lot of investors making is that they insure the building for the market cost, like what they could sell it on the open market instead of the replacement cost, right? So what you're insuring is if something were to knock down that structure, how much would it cost you to rebuild it? Well, the appraisal has nothing to do with that because you could have like a dinky little structure in some kind of like booming real estate market, which you could rebuild pretty cheaply, right? So you don't want to insure the market cost, you want to ensure what it would cost you to rebuild it.
Right. In the case there's a fire or flood or something else, what it would cost you to go back in if, you know, unfortunately, if there was a fire and just rebuild that structure.
Right. Okay. The next part on your policy will be B, which is other structures. This is the replacement cost, again, for other structures on your property. Like, do you have a pool house? Or a garage, or a really fancy doghouse, or what are some other structures you could have on that?
I mean, a shed. I mean, shed, fence, I guess, right?
Yeah. I don't think the fence would cost. It's a structure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the properties that we own have a garage that's a detached garage on the property, shed, those types of things. Maybe maybe you have a gondola where you have romantic dinners. Is it gondola? No,
a gondola is a boat.
Oh, well, what's the thing?
A gazebo. A gazebo. I don't know if you could insure a gazebo.
Why not? Right?
I want to look.
Can
like
we check
really
in to see if we can
pretty...
get gazebo insurance?
Okay.
I'm going to start a company. It only specializes in gazebo insurance.
We own no gazebos.
We don't have any gazebo.
So I don't know why I would spend my time shopping.
But we have
for
lots
that.
Of gondolas.
Right. Okay, number C or letter C on your policy will be personal property. So this is the sum of how much it would take to replace the assets that you keep inside the home. If it's a rental property, you should not really be paying here for personal assets unless you, for some reason, like, you know, sometimes you go to an Airbnb and there's a locked closet.
Right.
Because the owners keep their skis there or whatever.
That's where
right?
they keep all the bodies.
Yeah. And so if you do keep your artwork or something, you know, something you keep there that the renters don't use, you should insure that stuff. But I think for the most part, if you're an income investor, you're not keeping your own property there. So
no, we should start doing that. At our rental property, start putting our personal things there.
Use it as storage.
Like, hey, what are you doing here? We're the owners. I'm just going to, you mind if I keep our...
This crib.
Our Picasso in your closet?
Right.
Just don't go in there, okay?
So that's not very common. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on letter C. Letter D is loss of use. Now, a lot of times on your personal homeowner property, this is something you do want, right? Because if there's some kind of reason you can't use the home and you have to stay in a hotel, a lot of times your insurance company will cover that. But on your rental property, I'm not sure why you would need that because you're not using it personally, right? You can insure loss of rent on your policy, and that's very standard. But I want to remind you that in most states, the law allows an insurance provider to raise your premium if you've made any claim on the policy at all. It's not in all states, but it's in most states. So check the state that your policy is in. So a lot of times, if you have a turnover and you're missing like 2 months' rent, but you have to pay a deductible to make a claim on that loss of rent, and then your policyholder can increase your premium because you've made a claim, it's not worth it, right?
I mean, really, you would maybe, I guess, consider loss of rent if it was like something catastrophic. You had a fire, right? And then the house burned down. And then you, for a year now, you can't have it rented in the property, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you would, we've never claimed loss of rent, I don't think, on any property.
No, for the reason I just gave you, I can't justify that extra cost, right? So for the most part, it's like, all right, let's buckle down and turn it, right? I'd rather put my energy there than increase the premium.
Right. Today's episode is brought to you by Vista Print. By the way, this is the only company I use to print business cards. Yes, when I started my business, when I was out wholesaling and doing door-to-door housing purchasing, I went to Vista Print to buy my business cards because I wanted a professional look. And it was so affordable, and they did such an amazing job, and their website couldn't have been easier to upload my logo. If I didn't even have a logo, I could build one right on Vistaprint's website. That's how awesome they are. And your next big opportunity is coming right now, and you want to have a proper business card. You want to be able to own the now, and it's only $10 to get your business cards up and running. That's a low price to have the confidence that you're always ready to make an impression or get seen in a new way. A custom card with the colors, fonts, and designs and images that you choose means you can look and feel like a big deal, whether you're a startup or a business with a century of history behind you. And it doesn't have to be hard. You can upload your own design or start with one of their professionally designed options. Vistaprint offers simple tools and a wide range of templates to choose from. You pick the paper stock. You want it glossy? You want it matte finish? You pick the style and the quantity that's right for you. And then you choose the speed of delivery. You order and receive your cards in as few as 3 days. I couldn't believe it. Like, I made my cards and they were at my house in a big box just a few days later. It's remarkable. Think about this in the 1980s. We'd never be doing this, right? Never. We're in a beautiful age. So Vistaprint only uses carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper. They have dozens of designs that are just right for your business. Your satisfaction, by the way, is 100% guaranteed, or they will make it right, either by reprinting your order or giving you a full refund. But get this, Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why our listeners are going to get 500 high-quality custom business cards starting at $9.99. Just go to vistaprint.com/investing. That's vistaprint.com/investing. Vistaprint.com/investing to get your cards for just $9.99. Thanks, Vistaprint.
Okay. E is personal liability. This protects you against accidents or losses on your property. So this is something you really have to consider whether you want the personal liability on the property's policy, or if you want to have extra liability somewhere else. For instance, you insure the LLC that owns the property, or you get an umbrella insurance that covers, you know, any kind of accidents on your property, or this is something that you have to decide. It's not right for us to make a recommendation, but we want you to understand your options, because what if your tenant is, I just had this thought, like, they're really into rugby and they're practicing rugby on the front lawn, and someone's walking by and walking their dog, and your tenant tackles that person on accident because they were practicing rugby, right? And then you're liable for the person who got tackled by your expert rugby tenant, right?
Right.
And so then the person who is walking their dog knows, oh, I can sue for this, and I'm going to sue the owner because I got hurt by their tenant on their property. These things can happen.
We should stop renting to rugby players, because we have a lot of rugby players.
It's not a protected class, rugby players. I think you are allowed to discriminate against people of a different sport.
Right. Are you a spear fisherman? Because I don't want you to...
Because that's too dangerous.
I don't want you to spear fish and accidentally kill somebody. Like one of your spear fish gun darts goes flying out the window and shoots a passerby.
Like, there are certain things you cannot discriminate against as a landlord, right? Race, class, sex, religion, family status. But sporting preference is right. Not a protected class. It's possible.
Are you known to tackle people in the front yard of a property? Sorry, we can't rent to you.
Right.
Are you a spear fisherman?
Like, I wouldn't rent to a Dodgers fan, you know.
No, of course not. Or a Mets fan. You can't do that.
So, okay. Now that we've lost all our LA listeners,
right.
Let's continue to talk about what? Oh, okay. Personal liability, that will be E. And then F on your policy will be medical payments to others. So again, if someone does get hurt, now you can have personal liability, right? Or medical payments to others. So if someone gets hurt on your property, how much insurance would it take to make them better? Now, here's something to consider. We have a very inflated cost of medical care in the U.S., and an emergency room visit could just blow right through your medical payments policy. Like, it costs $500 to get a Tylenol in the emergency room or something crazy like that. I don't know that for a fact, but I know when I had a baby and I looked at my bill, I was like, what? It was like hundreds of dollars for the Tylenol that I asked for after
just a little
baby.
A little cup of water that you asked for.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so thirsty. Can I have a little cup of water? That was $4,000.
I did notice that it was $1,000 extra to have the epidural, right? Ooh. Between the baby that I had the epidural with and the baby that it didn't.
That's so, why with the third baby, we're like, no epidural, you're going all natural.
Because we were being cheap about
right. We're like, that's not a performing asset.
Can you imagine being in the delivery room and your husband's like, I don't think you should have that, honey. That's $1,000.
Right. Oh, you're in pain? No.
I'm going to kick you right in the face.
But I am going to go buy a new flat screen TV this afternoon.
Is that okay?
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so what are some of the more common questions we get from investors about insurance? Can you think of any?
Well, I mean, there's always the outliers. I mean, you know, what about flood insurance? What about hurricane insurance or storm coverage? I mean, you get that a lot when you're dealing with a state like Florida.
Earthquake insurance,
yeah. And things like that. And it's weird because, and this is something you definitely want to talk to your insurance provider about, because a lot of times, and this is where it gets really tricky. I mean, I lived in Florida. I worked in the news. I know how this storm coverage stuff, it can be tricky, right? Because a lot of times, your damage related to a storm, you think, oh, well, the storm surge of water that flowed through the kitchen and destroyed my house, that's from the storm, right? But no, that's not the storm, that's the flood, you know? And there's like the different categories because, well, the storm would have been like the tree through the property, but the storm was just the wind. But the water coming in, that was caused by the storm, and yet it's a different category and could be flood insurance. You definitely want to, if you're in one of those flood-prone hurricane zone areas, have those conversations. Again, it's a business expense for your business. So if it's worth covering the property to make sure you're protected, then do that. But just have those conversations.
Right. And a lot of times your lender will be the one who specifies what type of insurance you need. Lenders, they kind of got you by the balls. You know, they're going to place a loan on this property. So they're going to say, I want a lot of insurance. Most of our properties that don't have loans on them have less insurance because I don't want to pay extra for things that I know that I don't need.
What's an example of something you don't think you need?
There's a specific level of insurance that one of our lenders requires. And I, as soon as those loans are paid off, go and sort of go back to the replacement cost and not like the market cost or the cost of the loan or what have you. I think that the difference is called something like DP1. It's just sort of a higher tier. And since I so seldom make claims on our insurance policies because I want to keep those premiums low and I have budgeted for, you know, turnovers, unless there's really some kind of natural disaster, I try not to make claims on these policies. And, you know, you have to read what is excluded a lot of times. Like, we had a pipe burst that came from the city water line. And because the burst was in the lawn, right? It came off the main line and went through, but it was really the city's equipment. The city wouldn't pay for it. So I tried to make a claim on the insurance, and the insurance said, no, if you read line so-and-so, this is excluded. I should have known that, but I didn't, right? It was worth giving it a shot because it was really expensive.
It was like a $12,000 fix.
It was. And so for those kind of reasons, you know, I also did look at my homeowner's insurance that came with the title policy. The title insurance. And that also wasn't covered. Sometimes something will be on your title insurance. So, you know, you have to be able to know what you've got. A lot of times, too, with these storms, you can get like they'll have flood insurance or they'll have what's called a named storm.
Right.
Like if the weather service names it some kind of like proper storm, then you are covered. But if they don't, then you are not covered. And you want to be careful about, you know, like the Weather Channel names their storms, even if the National Weather National Weather Service hasn't. So, like, you know, they do that to boost their ratings, like Superstorm.
Well, that's where, you know,
whatever.
I mean, and the winter storms are now named by the Weather Channel. So when you hear a winter storm now, like the Weather Channel, it's all marketing. And so a lot of the other networks refuse to call it that because it's a Weather Channel convention. And so I think what Weather Channel is owned by NBC Universe. I don't know. But anyway, so like the other networks are like, hey, no, this is their marketing. We're not going to name it that because of anyway, just.
Right.
You have to be very careful if
so
it's
just
actual.
Because the news has said this is Winter Storm Herbert doesn't mean that it's actually been, you know, classified by your insurance company as something that you can claim against, because that is how they boost coverage, like tune in to know what Winter Storm Herbert's going to do to, you know, the freeways. And so, you know, you tune in thinking, oh, my God, it's a national disaster. But the Weather Society doesn't agree with that.
By the way, if there's a storm named Herbert, that's probably a pretty accurate. That's going to be a pretty destructive storm, I would think.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I just went off of like Harvey we've had recently.
Yeah.
And Irma.
Yeah, great tips on insurance, but I just be very careful about the types of coverage you're getting. Make sure that you're protecting your performing assets. After all, you've worked hard to get these assets. Make sure that you have that coverage in place in case of these random events. I should mention, again, if you go to our website, morrisinvest.com/insurance, and if you've got different properties from different providers scattered across the country, bring them under one roof and you'll be saving some money.
I also like that you can do a lot yourself on that website. For instance, we were refinancing a property and then the lender said, I need you to add the loan number to your insurance policy. And I was able to do that myself online in a matter of seconds rather than deal with a person, get on the phone, have that mailed to me or emailed or what have you. That was really great.
Yeah, and you can see all of your properties in one dashboard, which is really, really great.
It's great.
As well. Ooh, we're getting a little windstorm. I'm going to call this
windstorm
Herbert.
Okay. We got to go, guys. We got to take shelter.
Yeah, we got to get shelter here because it's getting windy out here. We decided to record today's episode outside because it's so beautiful. So I hope you guys are beating that heat wave that you guys are having.
Ooh, pounding some pavement.
Listen to the wind.
We got
to
go.
We got to go. Hold on to your hats, everyone. All right. Go out there, take action, guys. Become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. And go to our website for all the show notes. Again, it's morrisinvest.com/podcast. And then, of course, the insurance page is there as well. So check that out if you want to switch up your insurance. We'll see you next week, everybody.